Plans for a new U.S. budget, saying yesterday at a White House budget meeting.
Unfortunately, the budget that we're inheriting, essentially inheriting, is a mess. The finances of our country are a mess, but we're going to clean them up.
Trump says his plans include tackling the rising national debt, and Trump argued that the U.S. government must be leaner and more accountable. He said a guiding principle of his administration will be to do a lot more with a lot less. Powered by WesternJournalism.com, this is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
SpaceX celebrates.
Capture confirmed.
After its Dragon capsule was successfully captured by the International Space Station after a missed opportunity yesterday.
Dragon in the grasp of the Canadarm2 robotic arm. Capture confirmed at 4:44 a.m. Central Time. 5:44 a.m. Eastern Time.
Dragon is carrying tons of supplies and had been scheduled to rendezvous with the ISS yesterday, but that attempt had to be aborted when the capsule ran into problems trying to hook up with the ISS. Missing out on the postseason again this year could be just the beginning of the bad news for the Ole Miss football team, as we hear from Randy Bell.
The NCAA has finally wrapped up its investigation, and in response to the 8 new allegations of rules violations, the university says the team won't play in a bowl game even if it wins enough games to qualify. Coach Hugh Freeze says he's okay with that.
While it is extremely difficult to ask current players to suffer penalties based on the actions of others, I agree with the decision to self-impose a one-year bowl ban by our university.
Ole Miss now facing a total of 21 NCAA charges. Investigators say they found evidence that some recruits were paid thousands of dollars. Randy Bell in Jackson.
And one ticket sold in Lafayette, Indiana, matches all the numbers from last night's Powerball drawing, a $435 million jackpot before taxes. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the fastest way to beat career burnout, why your business needs to focus on customer retention, how to recruit top talent, and what's the best loyalty program for you. It's Thursday, February 23rd, 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small, here in the town of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But as always, we do that right after the weather. Currently 49 degrees at 12:06, and the forecast shows that today it'll be cloudy with some sun throughout the day and a high of 70 degrees with a low of 51. For tomorrow, it'll be warm with clouds and sun, a high of 65 and a low of 52. For Saturday, we're going to have rain and a thunderstorm possible with showers throughout the day, a high of 70 and a low of 38. And for Sunday, it'll cool down a bit with partly sunny skies and breezy with a high of 49 and a low of 29. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 22.95 to 20,797.81. The NASDAQ is down 36.74 to 5823.82. S&P 500 down 1.71 to 2361.11. Oil is up 79 cents to $54.38 per barrel. And gold up $15.50 to $1,248.80 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are now up to date. Now listen to the rest of the program live at www.huntertonchamberradio.com. Well, good afternoon, everybody. As I mentioned, my name is Jim Gannot. I am the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, New Jersey. So glad that you could join us for another edition of Taking Care of Business as we get together every Thursday at noon to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small. Got a lot of feedback from last week's show. We'll get into that in just a minute. But how about this weather? I mean, it's just phenomenal that today we're expecting temperatures around 70 degrees. I know that Laura from the Chamber was posting on Facebook the other night. She was already out with her little fire pit in the backyard enjoying a nice fire. I think it was either Saturday or Sunday night. Looking forward to getting that fired back up in my own backyard. But, of course, the big day for me was last Sunday because after about 3 months of sitting idle, finally had Dolly out of the garage, took the cover off, and went for a nice drive for about 45 minutes, my 48 Plymouth Special Deluxe. Love driving that car. Absolutely. It takes you back in time to a simpler time when you're working on the car. And then when you're driving, it's just so nice to just get out on the road. So had a good time with that. Last week's program, I talked about cell phone use, personal computer use in the office. And I got a lot of feedback, both just prior to the show and then even afterwards, where people were either calling me or texting me and saying it's a huge problem in their office as well. They did have certain company policies. Most were very restrictive. You know, in the event of an emergency, yes, you could receive a phone call. Several companies actually ask you to put your phone away in the morning, turn it off, and then if the family needs you, to call the main number. but it seems like as the younger generation enters the workforce, that this is going to continue to be a problem and companies will have to address it. But I didn't think that I was alone in this world. I didn't realize just how many people were affected by cell phone use in the office and personal computer use. And the one gentleman told me that he had a problem where an employee was going to various websites, but unfortunately there were malware, adware, et cetera, that started getting infecting his server. He had to end up, you know, scrapping the system, buying a new one because it just got so bad that it couldn't be cleaned up any further. So, again, having a policy in place is a good thing because then at least your employees know if they break the rules, if they don't follow the rules, that there could be consequences. And it's one of the things that I don't think the younger generation has had a good enough experience with, and that would be the consequences portion of their actions. So we'll keep monitoring that, and you can certainly continue to send me additional comments that you may have with regards to personal cell phone use in the office and whether or not it's impacting your business, and we'll be glad to share that as well. So now for today's program, as the preview said, we got a lot to cover, including how to beat career burnout. We're going to do that after the first break. Why you need to focus on customer retention, how to recruit top talent, and what's the best loyalty program for you. But before that, one of the questions that keeps coming up in my in-bin is the question of how to collect from a delinquent account. And, you know, people are saying they want to threaten a lawsuit. They want to get a collection agency involved. They want to go to the business and demand payment. And sometimes it's just a matter of communication. And this is a topic where there's definitely two sides to the story. Now, when you own a business, and if you're going to extend any terms, now if you're buying a bagel, you're going to pay the bagel shop owner when you buy it. But if you're buying a product and the company is offering you terms of, say, net 30, then you should honor the net 30 terms. But very often what we see, and if you've listened to the program for any amount of time, you know that net 30 on its own by the customer is being extended to net 45, net 60, net 90. Now, small business owners aren't reporting these late payments to Experian and TransUnion and other credit agencies. They're just kind of eating it. But in effect, what happens is they've paid for the material, they've shipped the material, and now they're not getting paid. They become kind of a bank because they're having to finance those outstanding invoices against current receivables. Many small business owners are still patting themselves on the back for acquiring a new customer, and then suddenly they realize the reality of the unpaid invoice is staring them in the face. Unfortunately, small businesses aren't very effective at flexing their muscles when it comes to collecting on a delinquent account, and more often than not, the owner must walk a fine line between catering to new clients, developing loyal relationships, and aggressively pursuing customers with past due invoices. And it's a conundrum that no business owner wants to face, but it's an all too common scenario. Now, while you may be tempted to turn to a collection agency for help, that's probably not the best approach, at least in the beginning. The greatest likelihood of getting paid is when you continue to service the relationship yourself rather than going to a third-party collector, said Ted Zoller, of T.W. Lewis Clinical Associate Professor of Strategy and Entrepreneurship at UNC Keenan Flagler Business School. When you turn it over to a collection agency, you give up your customer relationship altogether. Instead, keep the lines of communication open and try to find out what's behind the delinquent payment. Your customer may be dealing with a cash flow shortfall or an emergency will need to renegotiate the terms of payment. At this point, collecting any amount is better than nothing at all. So think about offering a payment plan or a discount, which are both less expensive than engaging a collection agency. And if talking doesn't help, it may be uncomfortable to upset your client, but if you've exhausted all efforts to call, email, and meet in person with no results, then it's time to take action. And this is where the squeaky wheel gets the grease approach comes in handy. In other words, you have to be relentless in your pursuit of payment. Entrepreneurs do not want to upset their clients because it's awkward, said Ken Wasselman, who's the assistant professor of entrepreneurial practice at the Whitman School of Management at Syracuse University. But if you're worried that person may not do business with you again or that it will make you look desperate, get past that. They are taking advantage of you by making you play bank for them. If they don't respond, stop doing business with them. But how can you avoid the problem in the first place? Like most things in life, it's easier to address the issue before it becomes a problem. So here are a few things that might help. First, set your expectations early in the relationship. Make sure your customers understand your terms of payment. If you see a pattern of late payments, then talk to your customer. Tell them they will need to adhere to your 30-day payment terms, for instance, or you will have to charge interest for every day they're late. Another option is to establish 30-day payment terms, but after 60 days, begin charging the customer 10% interest. That is completely abhus to arrange it is your invoice as paid in 5 or 10 days. Offer a discount for faster payment. The experts don't all agree on this one, but it's something to consider when your cash flow is in danger. I'm not totally wild about discounts, Soberry said, so deal with clients who understand and value your worth, clients who are willing to pay you what you deserve based on the agreement that you established. Still, offering a 10% discount to customers who pay in 10 days, for instance, may yield quicker results. Use credit reports to vet potential customers before you start doing business with them. Although many of these reports are unreliable, they may be effective at identifying a string of lawsuits, which is a red flag that something is amiss. Agree to do business with certain customers on a COD basis, cash on delivery. Abolishing payment terms and agreeing to ship goods or provide service on a cash on delivery basis may be a way to preserve the business relationship, especially for customers with poor track records of paying on time. and adopting preventive measures such as these could lower your chances of being taken advantage of. However, if your customer is simply facing tough times, offering to work it out is always a better option than threatening them with a collection agency or an attorney. Regardless, small business owners must decide where to draw the line, and walking away may be your only option. So there's a couple of tips on how to work with collecting debt from a delinquent client. Number one is the communication. Keep talking to them. Ask them if there's a problem. Ask them if there's something you can do to help. And then another technique that has worked very well for me, if you have recurring shipments and it gets to be to that 30 days, that 40 days, 50 days, just tell them you can't ship any more material. And then if they need it, you'd be surprised how fast that check shows up in your mailbox. So don't be shy about, you know, putting them on what we call a credit hold so that they can't get any more material from you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business, currently 12:15. We're going to step away for our first break of the afternoon, and when we come back, we've got a whole lot more to talk about to make your business the best that it can be. We'll be right back.
Rob Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all mine, taking care of business and working overtime, working out.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, and I'll be with you for the next 45 minutes as we talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Hunterdon County, as well as on the national scene. And there's one thing that is happening a little bit more and more frequently now, and that's called career burnout. And there are three common types of burnout, and once you figure out which one applies to you, you can take steps to fix it. But I wanted to start this story with an old African proverb that I heard many years ago that is something that I will say to myself every day. When I wake up in the morning, and last week I had a story about the 5 o'clock club, people who wake up around 5 o'clock in the morning to get their day started. And I mentioned that, you know, when I wake up, I kind of just lie in bed and I think about my day. maybe do a little bit of meditation and get myself ready for the day. But there is one saying, this African proverb that I say every day. And a lot of times when I'm speaking to groups, business groups, etc., this is the paragraph that I will start my presentation with. And it starts like this. Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the fastest lion or it will be killed. Every morning a lion wakes up. It knows it must outrun the slowest gazelle or it will starve to death. It doesn't matter whether you are a lion or a gazelle. When the sun comes up, you better be running. And that's the way I approach my day. I already know, because when I left my office the night before, the 10 things I want to accomplish the next morning. So I'm pretty much walking in with a to-do list. And that kind of keeps me away from the burnout. Now, we've all felt at some point in time in our career like we're in a rut, we're uninspired, or we're burnt out. And often that feeling can last a few days and it'll go away. But if it persists, it's important to get to the root of the problem. Burnout is like a smoldering fire. If you don't put it out quickly, you'll soon have a full-fledged conflagration on your hands, said Don Mariska, who's a serial entrepreneur and co-author of Take Charge of Your Talent, Three Keys to Thriving in Your Career, Organization, and Life. Job number one for every person is self-management. If you are at the top of your game, how can you win and enjoy the success? Research from the University of Zaragoza in Spain identified three types of career burnout. There's the frenetic burnout that comes when you work increasingly harder to the point of exhaustion. Under-challenged burnout that occurs when monotonous conditions fail to provide you with satisfaction. And worn-out burnout that happens when you have prolonged stress or a lack of control or acknowledgement. How you cope or handle your burnout will depend on its source. For instance, frenetic burnout. As a surgeon, Akram Alashari, the author of The Power of Peak State, Massively Enhance Your Personal Potential, has experienced burnout and witnessed it in his colleagues. Healthcare has the highest rate of burnout compared to any other industry, he says. It is very important to unplug from work and to relieve ourselves from daily hassles. If you're in a workaholic mode, it can be hard to make time for rest. So the first step to being able to unplug is to fully understand, both intellectually as well as emotionally, the benefits of unplugging. Taking a mental vacation and unplugging allows the individual to escape the daily grind and better appreciate the bigger picture, Alashari says. This means engaging in deep, meaningful thought and reconciling thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes about one's life and one's place in the world. It's also important to evaluate your life story so that you don't identify yourself with your occupation. Identifying yourself as your profession can severely narrow your perspective and cause you to think and behave in ways that are only consistent with that profession, he says. Unplugging will give you a break from worries and obligations, providing time to spend on doing something that brings joy for the sake of happiness itself. Creativity, euphoria, flow state, and peak experiences often occur while one is in an elevated mood during recreation, says Alashari. Under-challenged burnout is a different type. Sandy Gould, who's the Senior Vice President of Talent Acquisition and Development for Yahoo, experienced career burnout in 2016 and announced he was leaving the company, which was reported by Fast Company. A literal dream just before he left the role led to a change of heart, a reinvention of his responsibilities, and a move to New York, keeping him at the helm of Yahoo's HR efforts. Ask yourself what you love doing and really want to do, Gould suggests. The goal is to find something you are as passionate about as Luke Skywalker was about joining the Rebellion, or as Spider-Man and Superman are about saving and protecting people. When you do what you love and you use your superpowers for good, you will create in the best, most powerful, and fulfilling ways. Gould shares his 7-step process for getting through under-challenged burnout. First, identify what you love. What do you love doing at work? Gould asks. What if people said you were good at? What do you want next, whether it's a title, more money, a role, or a skill? Number two, find and build your superpowers. What successes have you had, and what superpowers helped you achieve them? Gould asks, what do you do differently than others, and how will you do your job in a way that reflects who you are, leverages your superpowers, and creates something awesome? Number three, seek advice and get feedback on what people think you love and are great at. Also ask people how they have found their destiny, he said. Fourth, build a plan to take steps that lead you to your destiny and use that plan to move forward. Fifth, don't follow the plan. As my friend, fashion stylist Josie Wisely said, you have to have the plan, but then break it when opportunity leads you down an even better road. Focus on what matters to you. If job, title, compensation, experience, or people are your priority, then focus on that because that will make you happy. It's what you need. Don't listen to conventional wisdom that says you are supposed to do something at this time, this way, or to care about this the most. And 7, customize the job to your unique approach. Now, with worn out burnout, the third type, that happens when you encounter stress and lack the motivation needed to get through it. Fantasizing about quitting might help you get through the day-to-day, but finding ways to reduce or eliminate the problem is better. In surveying the popular literature on the topic of employee burnout, it becomes very clear very quickly that diagnosis and treatment rest almost exclusively on the individual's proaction or self-help, says Martha Bird, who's a business anthropologist at the human resources service provider ADP Innovation Lab. First, reconnect with your intention, suggests Mariska. Find a generous listener who will ask you, what are your hopes about your work? And reflect back what they hear, he says. Encourage them to probe deeper and ask, why are those important to you? These questions stimulate positive, constructive thinking and help you refocus on what's important to you. They renew your mental energy. Next, examine what's getting in the way and be prepared to address it. Create a chart and list everything, even minor items, that contribute to your feeling of frustration and burnout, says Mariska. If you've been in your job for a while and are candid with yourself, you probably have dozens of items. Often, we accept conditions as givens when actually there are ways to change them. We just haven't seen how yet. And then finally, act. Worn-out burnout often happens when we give our power to someone else, says Mariska. So take back ownership of your story instead of waiting for someone else to make things better. Employee burnout is at epidemic levels, and companies would be wise to pay attention, said Bird. Now, while there are many triggers to worker burnout, some not even directly related to work, it is clear that those companies that take an active role in building caring workplaces with workers who at the end of the day feel well, taken care of, will be profitable for both the individual, for the community, for the customers, and for the product, she says. So hopefully there's some great tips for you there on burnout. And now it comes time where we have to ask you, how do you feel? How is your burnout level? Have you felt it? Do you feel it? I know that, and she'll kill me for telling this story, but a couple years ago, my wife was feeling very burnt out. And, you know, it was time to start thinking for her, is it time for a career change? Is it time for a company change or something like that? And she soldiered on and you know, got engaged in her work again, and it was going fine. And then about 3 months ago, the company came to her and about 400 other people, and they said, look, we'd like to offer you an early retirement package. You're at the age, you meet the levels of experience, you're in good standing with the company. So now she's just 6 days away, or actually 5 days away, from her end date. And now it's becoming a little bit more real, and you can almost sense, and my wife takes great pride in her work, where she almost doesn't want to leave because she's leaving some projects unfinished because of the timelines of the work that she does. And you can almost sense that there's not so much regret, but a little bit like of the letting go. And I think the next chapter, and she's going to take a few months off and find another job, but she's going to probably take the whole summer off. And I think part of what she's going to have to do at some point is you have to let go of the past, those 33 years that you had with the company, and then move on to the next chapter. But I think the one thing that I want to emphasize to her and to her coworkers who are also taking this package is to take pride in what they've done, you know, in those 32 years. It's a pharmaceutical company, so the drugs that they've brought to market, the successes, the wins. Yeah, there's always the political BS that goes with the position, but ultimately, focus on the positives, the successes and the wins, and then when you move on to whatever you're going to do, you know, in your next life, you know, just go after that with that same sense of purpose and renewed sense of want to do a great job, and you'll be fine. So good luck to everybody who's taking to that package, and I will let you know in the months coming how she's doing with coping with that. When we come back, we're going to take a look at why your business needs to focus on customer retention, something that a lot of businesses don't realize that they're losing money because they're not focusing on retaining existing customers. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt. We condemn this vile act of vandalism and those who perpetrate it in the strongest possible terms.
Vice President Mike Pence, speaking about the damage at a Jewish cemetery near St. Louis, Pence said the way the community came together is an inspiration to America.
It's been inspiring to people all across this country to see the way the people of Missouri have rallied around the Jewish community with compassion and support. You have inspired this nation with your kindness and your care.
Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway spoke at the CPAC conference about what draws the diverse supporters of Donald Trump together.
We're looking for what they shared in terms of issues, ideology, vision, and just what they want out of their futures for themselves.
Members of Congress being urged to beef up their security at town halls after a series of violent incidents at GOP events. USA Radio News.
We all want healthy, thick, shiny hair like in the magazines. It's all about the products you use. But you don't have to spend much to get that everyday fresh from the salon look. All it takes is Ovation Cell Therapy.
The breakthrough cell therapy treatment by Ovation can't be found in any other hair care line. Loaded with vital proteins and key nutrients, your hair and scalp will be nourished and revitalized like no other product can do. It's clinically proven to reduce breakage and give you thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier hair. People will notice.
And unlike other hair care products, Ovation gives a 365-day money-back guarantee. No one else does that.
Ovation really works. Start with a flagship cell therapy treatment at OvationHair.com. Instantly save as a new customer with a special introductory discount. Just select USA News in the survey at checkout. OvationHair.com. Select USA News for your new customer discount. OvationHair.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com. As we get ready for the second half of the program, time to check the weather. It's currently 55 degrees in Flemington. In just the last half hour, the temperature's gone up 6 degrees, on its way up to 70 today with sunshiny skies and a low tonight of 51. For tomorrow, it'll be warm with clouds and sun, a high of 65 and a low of 52. For Saturday, we're going to have rain and a thunderstorm with showers throughout the day, a high of 70 and a low of 38. And for Sunday, Daytona 500 Sunday, it's going to cool down a bit and be partly sunny and breezy with a high of 49 degrees and a low of 29. Get out there and enjoy yourselves today. All right, so just before the break, I mentioned that we're going to talk about customer retention and why it's important for businesses to focus on customer retention. Now, a lot of businesses have repeat customers. How do you engage both the repeat customer and the new customer in the hopes that they will in turn become a repeat customer? Now, in my business, we average about a somewhere between a 96 and 98% retention rate. And I've talked about this on the program where when I flip the calendar in January, I can almost tell you within a few percentage points what my billings for the year will be because we have such loyal customers. So how do you get that in your business? And how can you make a one-time customer become a repeat customer? And understand it also depends on your business and your products or services that you sell. Now, an attorney who has to defend a client for a speeding ticket, if the person never gets another speeding ticket, they may never need another attorney. So you may not have that. But if you do a good enough job, well, then when they go to buy a house or they need some other legal advice, chances are they're coming back to you. The plumbing supply store who helps a person who's renovating a bathroom and can tell them the right product to use, the right fixtures to use, maybe recommend a good plumber. It's only one bathroom, but if they ever go to do a kitchen or something else, then maybe they'll retain you for that. But if you're constantly selling goods over and over again, a clothing store or something like that, how do you get the customer to come back? Now, new customers spark your business to life, but customers that stick around will keep you going for the long term. Customer retention might be the best marketing decision you could make. A solid base of return clients makes a big difference to your bottom line, in part because new customers cost more in terms of your time, promotional materials, and other outreach to attract. Most small businesses want to grow at all costs. However, it is more prudent to spend more time nailing their core product or service and retaining as many customers as they can, especially in the early days, says Brian Clayton, who's the CEO of GreenPal. When small businesses try to scale too quickly and don't focus on retention, their marketing efforts are like pouring gas on wet leaves. Don Osmond, who's the managing partner of Oscom, said listening is a surprisingly powerful customer retention tool. He recently asked the customer, "What do you like about working with us, and how can we improve our services?" The customer's answers revealed he was happy with the services, but he had needs that weren't being met. The conversation opened up the communication for his client to offer his perspective to a marketing need. By simply asking for his perspective, we have increased his perceived value that Oscom offers, ensuring customer loyalty. So now the question for you is, how many of you are actually asking your customers if you're doing a good job? So, you know, when sometimes customers will just volunteer this information. They might send you an email. I get them just about every day. "Hey, Jim, I met with Jen. I met with Sarah. I met with Susan. You know, great customer service. We love you guys," stuff like that. And I know I can count on these people year in, year out. And then I can also ask them for, I typically tell people, "Well, thank you very much for the compliment. And by the way, you know, tell all your friends and neighbors." And they do. So then we get more business, new and referral business. And when that person comes in and says, "Hey, I was talking with Joe and he said that I should come, you know, work with you," there's no better compliment for me than that. So you definitely want to not only attract new customers, but keep the ones you have happy. And asking for referrals is a great way to do that. And then don't get complacent with your customer service. Just because a person keeps coming back and back and back, don't think that you can just suddenly drop the ball on them and everything will be okay, because they can leave you in a heartbeat too. Just make sure that you're always servicing them to the best of your ability. All right, our next story is in the preview was how to recruit top talent. And as a recruiter for 8 years before I owned Crown Trophy, this was one that we were always looking for the best candidates. When we would go to our client companies, we had to go to them with the top, you know, the top echelon of candidates, because they could find talent anywhere. They can go to Monster, they could go to Career Builder, they could go to Indeed.com, but they really wanted to see people that they couldn't find anywhere else. So recruitment and hiring is challenging for companies of all sizes, but can be especially trying for small businesses that often lack the ability to offer competitive salaries to attract and retain top talent. At the same time, finding the right fit and skill set for the job is especially critical for smaller businesses, since they rely so heavily on every employee. Standardizing recruitment and hiring practices is a good decision, according to Michelle Poge, who's the president of Design Staffing LLC, a boutique recruiting and placement firm. It will not only help you focus energy and efforts in the most fruitful direction, but it will also improve chances of finding and making the right hire. According to Poge, the first step in the recruitment process is clearly defining the role. This requires developing a detailed job description covering the essential functions and day-to-day tasks and how these fit into the company's overall objectives. Also, you want to think about what you may offer candidates that would increase your company's appeal beyond just the salary. Top talent is often looking for more than adequate compensation and benefits, so be sure to highlight any perks that your company may offer, she said. These might include the option of telecommuting, flexible work schedules, and wellness and workplace initiatives. Think creatively in addition to the usual methods when searching for likely candidates. Poge recommends networking opportunities such as trade shows, conferences, even community activities, and don't overlook social media. Also, be mindful of your company's presence on the web. Do you have a website? If so, is it interactive and user-friendly? Most importantly, is it updated frequently to reflect new information about the company and its open positions? If your recruitment efforts aren't turning up any decent prospects, considering engaging consultants to help. You can also ask existing employees for referrals, offering a bonus if their suggestion turns into a hire. Once you've found suitable candidates, how do you ensure that you'll make the best choice? Discuss compensation and benefits first. Get to this early in the process and speak frankly. You want to learn as quickly as possible if there's a match between what you can offer and the candidate's needs and expectations. Second, keep the company culture and values in mind. Don't just interview for skill sets. Make sure the candidate has the right attitude to fit in. Job skills can be taught or expanded upon, but adjusting someone's attitude, well, that's an entirely different ballgame. Number three, don't rush. Even if you're anxious to fill the position, take time to thoroughly interview the candidate. Check their references. Solicit input from others in the company. Cover all bases before extending an offer, and make the final offer contingent upon passing other requirements, such as drug testing or more thorough background checks. And finally, put it all in writing. Provide a clear, detailed offer letter that describes the offer and conditions of employment in full. This should be signed by the applicant and returned to the company. And don't stop at the hiring process. Be sure to make the new arrival feel welcome on their first day and weeks, and make them be part of the team. Introduce them to the other employees, take them on a tour of the office, ensure that they have the proper supplies and equipment to do their job, and impress upon them that they should feel comfortable asking questions and seeking guidance, Poach said. Remember, you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. So just a couple of ideas on how to recruit that top talent. The ones that I love are when they talk about making them feel welcome. And I have a friend of mine who started a job a few months ago with a new company. Probably took him about 2 weeks to get a computer. Took him another week or so to get a key card. So imagine standing in front of the building, you know, every day waiting for somebody to walk in so that you could walk in with them. It just didn't feel like the company cared enough about him. And it's a big company, so I could see how one person could get lost in the shuffle. But he kept asking his manager, you know, hey, when do I get my laptop? When do I get my laptop? And then finally, you know, it would show up. But to me, if you hire a person and you have 2 to 3 weeks to prepare for them to come on board, well, then do your due diligence. Whatever they need, even down to pencils in the desk, business cards waiting for them on their desk, their computer hooked up, ready to go, do what you have to do to make them feel welcome on day one. All right. I am getting a ton of questions lately about loyalty programs, particularly in retail, and people wanting to know what are the best loyalty programs, what works, what do people want in a loyalty program. We're going to cover that after the break, but it's just something that, and I want to hear what your businesses are doing as far as a loyalty program. Yeah, I went to get my car washed on Sunday, and after I checked out, the gentleman handed me a card that said after 10 car washes, I would get a car wash free. I was like, well, that's cool, you know, because I keep my car nice and clean. I went to Jersey Mike's the other night to get a sandwich, and they have another loyalty program, and the girl said, oh, you're getting very close to a free sandwich. And I'm like, really? How do you do that? She goes, well, when you get to X number of points, you get a free regular sub. And I was like, cool, because I love Jersey Mike's subs. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about low-tech or high-tech. What's the best loyalty program for you and your business? You're listening to Take Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families
for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me as we do every Thursday for another episode of Taking Care of Business. And very happy and glad to be getting some of the comments, letters, phone calls from people that tell me that they listen to the show on a regular basis and that they've employed some of the tactics that we talk about here. And in their business, and that they've seen the success and results from it, particularly as it relates to sales and marketing. So hopefully we'll be able to keep that going. Just informed prior to this show that next week we may have a couple of potential show hosts sitting in watching the fabulous and exciting world of talking into a microphone. So we'll have them on. Hopefully we can put a couple of them on the air at the same time and preview what some of their shows may be about as well. Interesting update from Hagerty, which is the number one insurer of classic cars. President Trump's Ferrari is going to head to auction, and now the question is, what will it go for? So President Donald Trump has a Ferrari F430, and it's going to auction, and it could be huge or it could be huge. But on April 1st, Auctions America at their Fort Lauderdale sale will be auctioning off Donald Trump's 2007 Ferrari F430. Initial estimates saying that it could go for $250,000, but the fact that it is owned by a sitting president may bring in more. So there's kind of guesswork at this point as far as what they think that Ferrari will go for. Who's in? Who's going to bid? All right, we talked about loyalty programs, and loyalty programs have been around in one form or another for many years, and chances are your wallet or your purse is already full of little cards from many retailers just waiting to be filled up or that you scan to keep track of all of your purchases. Maybe you still visit a mom-and-pop establishment that keeps your loyalty card on site and pulls it out of a drawer when you pay for your merchandise, and there's nothing wrong with that approach, especially if it's aligned with your marketing budget and your brand. Today, however, new digital rewards programs and mobile apps are readily available, and they offer a host of advantages over their punch card predecessors. Fortunately, high tech doesn't necessarily mean high cost, and many of them are economically feasible for small businesses. In fact, it can be a convenient way to thank your loyal customers and a helpful tool for spreading the word about your business. So here are a few tips to get you started. First, consider a web-based alternative. Perkville is a service that works with thousands of companies in all 50 states and around the world, offering web-based alternatives to the traditional punch card. If you have an email address, you can do this, said Marty Regan, who's the director of sales. We integrate with our existing business software, and that could be anything from point-of-sale systems to full back-end scheduling or CRM software. Capitalize on the benefits, because web-based alternatives like Perkville offer some noteworthy benefits, including greater client retention and the ability to track referrals. Customers can also post content on social media and share photos of themselves at your establishment. This granular approach makes it easy to reward customers not only for what they're spending, but for other forms of behavior as well. And don't overlook ROI. Regan is quick to emphasize the importance of ROI, the return on investment, in any loyalty program. We sit down with our clients and we do an ROI calculation based on the results they have to date. They can see the results on our dashboard. If you're not getting the results you want, we talk about how you can get them. Go mobile. Today, 86% of marketers ranked mobile loyalty campaigns as very effective or effective. With a digital rewards mobile app, your customers can easily earn points on their purchases simply by using their smartphones. Think Starbucks. And if the app is convenient and easy to use, the chances of long-term use increases greatly. Now, while subscription prices typically start as low as $50 a month, you'll save money on the cost of designing and printing cards. You want to collect data on your customers as well. As an added benefit, technology makes it possible to collect valuable information about your customers, but that data is only helpful if you know how to make it actionable. Loyalty programs are complicated things to analyze, said Michael Lewis, who's a professor of marketing at Emory University's Guizeta Business School. Big companies collect massive amounts of customer data, but how do we analyze that data to get some value out of it? Almost no one is really good at that. As a small business owner, however, conducting a little market research about the behavior of your customers could provide you with some vital information. The more you learn about your target audience, the better. Offering a loyalty rewards program allows you to conduct your own research about the buying powers of your customer and the buying patterns. You also need to learn and adapt as you grow. Make sure the promotion is consistent with your brand and your position in the marketplace, Lewis said. You want to be logical but adaptive, and that means focusing on the details and paying attention to your results. If I establish a loyalty program and I have regular gold members, for instance, I want to look at how my retention of gold members has changed, but I also want to look at non-gold members. High-tech loyalty programs are no longer just for big businesses with equally big marketing budgets. Today, small business owners can choose from a wide range of digital alternatives to jumpstart their businesses, increase sales, and retain and reward loyal customers. In the end, the expenses associated with instituting a high-tech loyalty program may pale in comparison to the additional business that it helps to generate. So that's one of the things I've been working on in my business. How do I get a loyalty program going? I think I can do it in our apparel division. I think I can do it in our sign division. But in the trophy division, that's where I seem to be struggling. And when I talk to other Crown Trophy store owners, they say the same thing. We just don't know what it is that our customers are looking for in a reward program. Is it money back? Is it discounts, etc.? So we're trying to work on something like that in the hopes that we can come up with something that people will appreciate and then participate in. All right. There are five costly payroll mistakes that almost every business owner, well, first of all, you definitely need to avoid them, but some don't even realize they're making them. Now, payroll errors can be stressful and expensive. Start by reviewing the most common ones so you don't make the same mistakes. Let's face it, payroll can be a pain in the butt. Whether you've just added your first employee or your 15th, it's even worse when you make a mistake. Some mistakes may take months to discover and can be hard to unravel. So avoid these common mistakes to make payroll easier when tax time rolls around. First, by not triple checking. Are your records accurate? Are you sure? Review all payroll data, cross-referencing personal information as well as wage and benefit information for all active and terminated employees. Forgetting employee input. Have employees check their W-4 forms for accuracy. Set a deadline for your employees to review their W-4 withholding forms, confirming that their personal information and their federal, state, and local tax withholdings are correct. Getting stuck in the past. Several laws and rules changed in 2016, and contribution limits increased for 401k plans, HSAs, and other employee benefit accounts. It's important that you address any changes in your payroll administration before you close the books. Number four, letting deadlines pass. Confirm year-end payroll deadlines as well as federal and state deposit deadlines. Also review the holiday processing schedule. And by using outdated employment tax forms. Check with the IRS website to ensure you have the most recent forms 941, 940, 944, 945 forms. Review the deadlines for submitting each of these forms. And remember, don't be shy about telling your accountant to do the exact same things so that you make sure that you're always in compliance and not getting hit with a penalty down the road. Just some great things to be looking out for at this time of the year when everybody's preparing their taxes and hoping for returns. Did a little research. We talk a lot about Facebook marketing, online marketing, social media marketing, and there's a couple of tips of things you should never say on Facebook that I wanted to go over with you today as well. Now, I'm working with James. You met him a couple of weeks ago on the show, and you know, he's very big on wanting to get right into marketing. And I'm like, we need to understand the business and your target audience before we just throw out marketing and you know, throw spaghetti on the wall. So there's six things that you should never say on Facebook. And instead of teasing customers with overhyped headlines, you should offer real value with your social media content. You'll never guess this one weird trick we used to get you to read this tip. This kind of blatant clickbait, and remember that term, clickbait, will surely annoy your audience, even on Facebook, and it could cause customers to trust you less. Now, according to Manta's Academy course, Create the Perfect Post on Facebook, 40 characters is the ideal length for a Facebook post. And this doesn't leave a lot of room for deep thought. Instead of expounding at length, you should take your customers off Facebook and direct them to your blog or website. You want to use precious characters to preview your idea and leave them wanting more, aka clicking on your link. As the old adage goes, less is more. But you need to make sure that you're delivering on your headlines. Teasing readers with salacious clickbait, then leaving them disappointed or irritated with the results when they click through, will ultimately do more harm than good. So here are the biggest no-nos. You don't want to use these terms when doing a Facebook post. The first is, you'll never guess. Yes, I will. And I click, and then it's just not what it wants to be. You won't believe. This one weird trick. You'll only understand if. This video will make you cry. Or any question that can be answered with one word. Curbing the use to urge clickbait will make your readers happy, engaged, and likely to come back for more. So think about your social media marketing and whether or not you're engaging in using clickbait. Are you trying to get people to open up an email with some clever language, but in effect, it's backfiring on you because people just don't want to be teased all day long. They actually want to get right to it, right to the content. So hopefully you'll take that under advisement as well. I did want to touch base on a plan B question. I had a listener write me an email and talking about their current profession, but they're working on the side on a thing that they want to grow into a business, but they don't have the money to start it. They don't have the time to do it. They can't just quit their current job to do it. And as harsh as this may sound, and I'm not going to apologize for saying it, but I am going to say it. Sometimes it's more important to work on plan A than plan B. Now, plan B could be a great hobby, could be something that you want to monetize, but it's just not there yet. You have to do that on your own personal time. And the problem with the question was they were trying to commingle their current job with their plan B project. And I can get into more detail at another time. But the gist of this is very simple. You know, when you're in a job and a boss or a company is paying you to do that job, then you need to focus on that 100% to the very best of your ability. Just give the boss everything you have in time. If your plan B proposal is something that can be monetized, can be, turned into a business, then you do that. But in the meantime, focus all your energies Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on that job. Every minute you take away, every ounce of energy that you take away from your current job diminishes your level of input to the company, diminishes your level of productivity, and ultimately diminishes your value to the company. If your value diminishes too much, you will be gone. And then you'll have nothing. You'll have a great plan B, but you can't do that full time yet. And then it may not work out. So I'm not telling you to give up on the other projects. I'm just telling you not to spend any time on it while at work. And if it becomes all consuming, where that's all you want to do, all you want to think about all day long, and you're not able to focus on your current job, then go ahead and quit. Focus all your energy and make your plan B your new plan A. But understand there will be bumps in the road, and you have to be prepared both financially and emotionally to handle that. So hopefully that answers that question, and you'll be able to deal with that accordingly. All right, in sports, in the NCAA men's basketball, the top 10 is looking like this week. Gonzaga is the number one pick with Villanova, Kansas, Arizona, and UCLA rounding out the top 5. Louisville, North Carolina, Baylor, and Duke round out the top 10. In NASCAR news, we're just 3 days away from the Daytona 500, and I cannot wait. Looking forward to get the cars back on the track. Major League Baseball had some news yesterday. Both the owners and players have come to an agreement to, in effect, eliminate the intentional walk.
And that would be done by a no-pitch intentional walk, meaning that the dugout could signal to the umpire that they intend to walk the batter, and then the batter would just be given the base. This is all being done as a way to speed up the game. Interesting to see whether or not that will come to fruition, but it could be happening as early as this year. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was